This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to Piece of the Action. I am your host, Matt Souza. Thank you for joining me for yet another action movie live watch. My guest tonight you can find on a number of shows as part of the Quad of Pods, such as PTB NXT, Talkin' WCW, Journey Through Infinity, and Talkin' Pop, making his Piece of the Action debut, Tim Cable. Tim.
Matt, thank you for inviting me on your fine program. And that was a great intro, and I feel very honored. I have to ask you, though, could you just pull the curtain back a little bit and reveal to the listeners your level of excitement going into this episode to watch the film that we're going to be watching, as opposed to the film that I originally selected when you asked me to be on?
Well, Tim, originally you chose a movie that... Well, it's an award winner for many reasons. You originally chose Street Fighter the movie.
Multimedia sensation, Street Fighter the movie.
I mean, a JCVD classic. A person, might I add, we have not yet watched on Piece of the Action. So
yeah,
keep that
in
mind.
That's the thing. You got to get some JCVD in there. Mm.
But you had a change of heart. You came to your senses, if you will.
I know you're so disappointed.
I really, really am. You know, I'm going to leave that to the popcorn chicken salad crew to handle that one, because I'm such a nice person. I'm going to let them take care of that movie. So why don't you tell everybody at home what we are watching?
So, well, don't get me wrong. Well, I would love to do a live commentary for The Street Fighter from 1994. You know, I took a step back and I said, let's consider the medium and the venue here a little bit more. And for Matt's fine program, I mean, it's a piece of the action. It's all about the action. Mm-hmm. And when I think action, I can think of no bigger action star than the Arnold Schwarzenegger, of course, who you featured films of his resume you have featured several times already here on this podcast. So hard to go wrong there. And I was kind of just looking at, all right, what were the movies that Matt has covered already? Are there any, like, not that there's been a ton of episodes of this show, it's a young show. But are there any, like, glaring gaps that could be filled potentially by something I really love? And boy, the one that stuck out to me was the 1984 classic, the one that in a lot of ways kicked off many, many careers. And that is The Terminator with Arnold Schwarzenegger, again, aforementioned. James Cameron directed, not his directorial debut, but coming on the heels of Piranha 2, The Spawning, it might as well be. He has since disowned that first film, I understand.
I can't imagine why.
Yeah, so we can just, erase that one and pretend like The Terminator is his directorial debut as well. But yeah, I mean, there's just so much to talk about here. Such a great film. I can't wait to watch it again and watch it with you.
Yes, very excited. It has been a little bit since I have seen the original Terminator, so I am very, very excited for this. A lot of times when I watch a Terminator film, I go towards the greatest action movie of all time, Terminator 2. But very much looking forward to watching...
No, never heard of it.
No.
I kid you.
But very much looking forward to watching this one. So, we are currently paused at just about the 1 second mark on Amazon Prime. We're both watching on Amazon Prime. If you're following along at home, we are going to do the countdown and then we are going to hit play. Are you ready, Tim?
I am ready. And yeah, if you're a Prime member, as we are, you can watch along with us at home or just purchase the film. It's worth owning.
Mm-hmm. It is. You should own multiple copies, I hear. But are we ready? In
yep.
3, 2, 1. All right. Staring at the MGM line.
Wow. Yeah, that iris coming in.
It's a little much, a little much.
This is the logo that used to scare me when I was a kid.
Mm.
The roaring lion, yeah.
See, this is when you know you're watching an 80s movie. When right. you get the Orion logo right after
yes,
it.
Yes, particularly. Hmm. So, what do you have like a history with this movie? Do you have a notable or infamous first time seeing it that you remember?
This one, not so much. I was probably in high school.
Oh,
when
wow.
I saw Terminator 2 first before I saw this one.
Yeah. I think it's a lot of people's story, yeah. Probably.
I was probably 8 the first time I saw Terminator 2. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it in the theater when it came out, and I think I was about that age.
Yeah.
Man, was I hyped for that movie. Mm. So we're looking at the ruined cityscape here of Los Angeles, 2029 AD, a mere, how many, 8 years away from us?
Yeah.
Well, we have a lot to look forward to, right?
Yeah. Boy, man, this still looks great.
I know. I mean, this is all like practical work too. These are miniatures and stuff like that. Even the optical effects are, yeah. I don't think they've really gone back and cleaned this up or anything.
Yeah, I was just going to ask if you thought maybe they did. But
I'm sure it's been remastered, but yeah. I don't think they gave it like the, you know, like the Star Wars treatment or anything.
They didn't add any singing to it.
Like no, they did not modernize the effects to my knowledge. So yeah, I'm trying to think. This is one of those movies that has been with me for so long that I don't think I can even recall the first time. I was definitely a little kid. I'm sure it was in the 80s.
Yep.
I mean, released in 1984, I would have been coming up on a year old. So it's not like I would have seen it in the theater or anything. But
so,
Terminator
3. That
yeah.
came out in what, 2004? 2003. All right.
Yeah.
So I probably saw this right around the time that was coming out because I was super hyped for Terminator 3.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, and I would have been 12 or 13 when that came out. So I probably saw this for the first time right around there.
Okay. Okay. So you saw Terminator 2 first.
Yep. And then I saw 1.
And then you saw the first one, and then I got right. you hyped.
And then I saw, right, and then I saw 3 when it came out on DVD or...
Yeah. Yeah, 3 is such a, I don't know, I think a lot of people have a weird relationship with that third Terminator. It's like right at the end of
right
Arnold's run, really, so to speak. Like, he'd had a strong 80s, a pretty strong 90s, had tapered off, and...
Mm-hmm.
Was just about to become governor, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was like right before. That might have been his last movie before.
I was going to say, he may have been sitting governor at the time the thing came out, you know,
yeah.
but filmed it right before the recall election, all that nonsense. I don't know. But I don't hate that movie. I, like a lot of people, I don't know. It's a weird kind of artifact of its time in some ways.
Yeah, I was telling you off air, it has its moments, but like I feel, I mean, compared to the more recent sequels, it's certainly
yeah.
better than those. But
oh my God, it's a masterpiece in comparison. it's a real movie, which is a lot more than you can say for some of these other ones. So now we're taking it back to 1984 Los Angeles, and wow, what's this lightning storm in the middle of middle of the night, weird atmospheric phenomenon. No rain, no thunder. What's going on here?
Do, 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 do.
Be.
Do, do, do. Was this before they did that music?
you know, Score by, I never know how to say the guy's name, Brad Fiedel, I think. Fiedel, Fiedel. Fiedel. sounds wrong.
Well.
So, yeah, it's got that really cool industrial score, right? Yeah. It's so unique. You don't, I mean, and I don't know what other films he's really scored. I always just associated him with the Terminator franchise, but man, it's so good. You've got such a different movie without that. I feel like it's
totally,
it makes so much of this movie.
All right.
Great ass shot here.
Arnold staring longingly bare-assed.
Yep. Oh man.
So I just looked it up. Terminator 3 was 2003, and that was his last movie until his cameo appearance in The Expendables in 2010.
Holy crap. Wow.
So 7-year gap between Terminator 3. I'm assuming because that was when he was governor, I would imagine. And then.
Well, he was busy.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, almost got some full frontal there.
Yeah.
The scum punks here.
Oh my God, that's Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton. No, wait, Bill. Yes,
Paxton. Yes, Paxton. Yes, I have the same problem.
Gotta think about it for a minute. James Cameron loves the dude. Just puts him in everything.
Yeah.
God, he looks so grody here.
He looks horrible. I mean, he looks, it's just, it's the garb that he's wearing.
Yeah. Oh, man, just to eviscerate this guy. Oof. We should also stress, this is a hard R action movie.
Yes.
Very hard.
Kids, if you're listening, get your parents' permission before watching this movie.
We're serious.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I'm watching this hard R action movie as a little kid in the 80s, which I think we just had it, you know, one of my parents or relatives had it recorded on VHS. One of those, it was hidden, but in an obvious place that was easy for kids to find. Yep. It was like, I don't think my parents were crazy about me watching it, but they also didn't, I mean, they were 80s parents, so they didn't care that much. as long as I didn't, like, flaunt it.
Right.
They felt like they did their due diligence by half-heartedly hiding it, I think. So.
See, it was weird with my parents, and maybe this speaks to why I am the way I am now, but my parents really didn't care, like, about violence.
Yeah.
Like, in movies, it was more sex.
That was always the, And my mom didn't even care about the sex so much, but my dad definitely did. He didn't like sex. He didn't like profanity, but violence was just whatever.
Yeah. I've said it before on this podcast. The first time I saw True Lies, which is a very violent movie, I was like 5 or 6.
That's pretty violent too, yeah.
So, I mean, and I turned out fine, I think.
Yep. We're now seeing a naked Michael Biehn who was materialized in 19. Very scarred up, too. You see his back.
Very much
scars
so.
And shit. Yeah, fresh from the future here. God, he's scrawny looking.
Yeah.
He's certainly
no,
contrast,
he's no Arnold.
Yeah,
he's
contrast
no Arnold.
With this jacked up Austrian we just looked at.
Yeah, he's a little lanky here.
Yeah, jeez. He's kind of another James Cameron favorite, Michael Biehn. Mm. He ends up in a lot of his stuff. Yep. Aliens hadn't, so Aliens would have been, you know, shortly after this.
Yeah, a couple of years after this.
Another
I think.
Cameron, which it's hard to believe that, I mean, right out of the gate, James Cameron coming out swinging with this movie for it to be as good as it is and as big a success as it is.
Yeah.
Big vote of confidence in him.
Oh, absolutely.
Mostly by, I think, producer Gail Ann Hurd, if I'm remembering right. He sold the rights to her, to this, you know, this story concept for like $1, saying, look, you find us a distributor, we retain creative, let's just try to get this thing made.
Right.
And I guess she believed enough in his vision that they pulled it off.
I'd say it worked out in the end.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was looking, what's the budget on this thing?
Yeah, I actually have it pulled up in front of me here.
Shoestring, right?
The budget was $6.4 million.
For a major, yeah.
And it made $78 million at the box office.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, pretty well.
Wow. That is impressive.
Can see why they did a sequel.
Yeah, yeah.
And they should have stopped after that one.
Can you imagine? It's $6 million budget for a Terminator movie.
I know. Like, it's crazy.
Even in 1984 dollars. It's
right. Crazy to think about. Especially given like where the story goes with all the Skynet stuff and the rise of the machines and all that. Like,
yeah. And how many times has John Connor been recast? He hasn't been played by the same person.
No, he hasn't.
Two consecutive movies, has he? Jeez.
No, there was that. What was it? It was the fourth one, I think. Salvation.
Salvation.
He was the lead.
Was he Christian Bale in that one?
I believe so.
Yeah.
That's a bad movie.
I'm trying to remember. Like, I've seen parts of that movie. I'm not even sure if I've seen the whole thing.
So, to contrast the $6 million budget for the original Terminator, the budget for Terminator Salvation in 2009 was $200
million.
Oh
my God. So. What are we doing?
Yeah. For that movie.
Oh. That's painful.
And wasn't there one like a couple years ago?
There was.
With Linda Hamilton?
Yeah, they brought Linda Hamilton back. Was that Dark Fate?
Yeah, or was it
or Genesis? Which I don't. It, one or the other.
They all run together at a certain point.
I know that those are both Terminator movies. I don't know which is which. I'm sorry.
I'm gonna have
to speaking of Linda Hamilton,
there she is.
There we see on her moped. And her hair. Nineteen-year-old Sarah Connor, we are told.
All right, so we had Terminator Salvation in 2009. We had the TV series, which I forgot was a thing that existed.
Oh, the Sarah Connor Chronicles. Yes.
Then we had Genesis in 2015, and then Dark Fate was in 2019.
Oh, boy.
I don't know if I saw Dark Fate. I think I bowed out before I even watched that one.
Yeah. I think I saw one, but not the other. But I don't remember which one. That's how kind of disinterested I've become in this franchise.
Yeah. Arnold just stealing a car. Knows how to hotwire it. Very good.
Yeah. So the story apparently was, at least at first, James Cameron wanted somebody, you know, kind of similar to a Michael Biehn, more slight of build to play the Terminator. Because the idea is he's this very unassuming assassin, can just blend in, would not stand out in a crowd. Yep. And he moved away, and I think Lance Henriksen was sort of who he had in mind for this. Who does find his way into the movie, but certainly not as the Terminator. Well, he moved away from that idea pretty quickly, and we end up with this anything but inconspicuous, you know, like fucking 6'10" Austrian bodybuilder.
Right.
But I guess, you know, if you don't know what the Terminator looks like, you don't know that he's the Terminator. You just know he's this big-ass dude in a crowd. Like, but... I mean, once you spot him, you spot him. He's kind of hard to miss. So I would say it worked out certainly for the best. We got Arnie and not Lance Henriksen.
Yeah. Here. Can you imagine? All of a sudden, Lance Henriksen is in all these movies because...
stalking Sarah Connor.
Total Recall starring...
Jesus. Yeah, he gets Arnold's career.
He basically gets Arnold's career.
Kindergarten Cop with Lance Henriksen.
What could have been?
The gun stores. This is the famous that guy actor.
yeah.
Dick Miller. Yes.
Mm. Great value, Johnny Cash.
Just got blown away.
He's dead. God, he looked so greasy. My mm-hmm. goodness.
Yeah.
The man needs a shower.
He needs a shower.
Jesus.
I mean, the clothes don't help.
No.
So much. It's like, ugh. And I mean, we've got to brace ourselves. There's going to be a sex scene coming up in this.
Oh,
with,
my goodness.
With him.
I love that he's this badass and he's driving a station wagon.
Right?
Oh, phone book. There you go.
Phone booth at that. Yeah. I mean, payphone.
Mm.
Ask your grandparents, kids.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, what's one of those things? I got to say, the jacket in Terminator 2, a much better look.
They were like cell phones attached to a wall that you that you put coins into in order to
hide. I see.
It's you know your cell phone when you use that feature to call people, you probably don't use it, but when they call mm-hmm. you and you ignore it, well, if you had mm-hmm. to actually talk to someone, you would use a payphone back then.
I see. You mean you had to actually put money in it as you go?
Oh yeah.
Wow. Huh. What a concept. Oh, she's dead.
Sarah Connor.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't have an Arnold impression, really.
I used to, but at some point I lost it and I never got it back.
Probably another bonus for the listeners.
I need your guns and your motorcycle.
Your boots and your motorcycle, yeah. Kind of overkill for this, you know, for the wrong Sarah Connor here. Got
yeah, a little bit.
Blown away.
Does she have the most 80s hair?
Oh, man, it's severe 80s. It's so up but down at the same time.
It's a neat trick.
It is a neat. I mean, it is hard to reconcile her character and her appearance mm. in this film versus, you know, the sequel.
Yeah.
Or is she just...
Total 180.
I'm trying to think of the line that's always stuck with me exactly from T2, where she's like, I'm talking about Judgment Day. Anybody not wearing an SPF 15,000 is going to have a real fucking bad day. Get it?
Bad day. Oh, man. Once again, Terminator 2, greatest action movie ever.
It really is. Ooh, flashback. Here we go.
Mm.
Flashback or flash forward?
Mm. Mm.
Hard to. I mean, time travel, man. I just.
Yeah. It's a thing I've never been able to wrap my head around.
No. I can't deal with it.
No.
And yet I deal with it weekly, trying to watch Loki and talk about.
It always breaks my brain. I think it always will.
Yep.
But you think we'll ever get to a point where time travel is a thing that actually happens?
Boy, I hope not. Well, you know, you figure if it is, then if it theoretically got to that point mm-hmm. or would get to that point, shouldn't there be time travels walking around daily mm. interacting with us all mm. the time? I mean,
it's a good point.
It's too much to think about.
It's too deep of a conversation for this podcast.
Probably so. We're not high or smart enough, I don't think, to engage in that one.
I fully admit I'm not smart enough.
Could probably get high enough to fake it, but...
Oh, absolutely, know. But... Oh, boy, that... Fella just got blown to bits.
Oh, shit. Yep.
Jesus.
And where it really gets tricky is not only are the machines, trying to end this war retroactively by, ensuring that the rebel leader John Connor never comes into existence. You know, fair enough, fair dinkum. But it turns out in the process of doing that, they sort of engineer their own creation. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm like, oh boy.
Yeah.
Closed loop time travel. Ooh, somebody else just ate it. Wow. This is a violent future that awaits us in just a few.
Violent future, past future, wherever he was. Wherever he was just now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, something to look forward to.
Is it really that worse?
You know, that's a good point. I mean, I don't know. I'm not stepping through skulls every day when I go on a walk, but I mean, I guess I could be. I mean, the Walkman.
Mm.
I've read about it in my history books.
Yeah. Again, just think of your phone that plays music, but it's a separate device and it only plays music.
Doesn't do anything else. What? No, that's crazy talk.
That's it.
Let's see, witchcraft? That's witchcraft you're talking about.
I know.
You think they had to pay Hanna-Barbera? For her to wear that Flintstone shirt.
Big licensing agreement with that's where $5 million of their dollars went. I like this little glimpse into Sarah's personal life here. You know, she's this waitress, she's 19, she's young, she's attractive, she's fun, she's got this roommate, she likes to party. Sort of, sometimes.
This guy's a creep.
Guy's kind of a creep.
A little bit. Yeah. This guy has had a day.
Yes, he has. I love this character, too. Here's old Lance.
There he is. The future star of Eraser.
Yes. I loved him in Twins.
Yeah. Loved that scene in The Sixth Day when he played for the XFL.
It's awesome in End of Days. He would have been good at End of Days, honestly.
Yeah, really?
I don't think about that movie. Loved when he backhanded Triple H on SmackDown in the lead up to that.
Oh, yeah. This is incredibly 80s.
Oh, yeah. Seeing the girls get all dooted up here.
Was she in Flashdance?
Once.
This looks like a hotel room. Where they
I know. It really does. It's California apartment.
Oh, my lizard's up here. Great.
Oh. Great. Got
that's,
him gone.
That's where I left that. You know, just think, if this scene was in, like, Terminator 2, she'd be talking to that lizard as if that lizard knew something.
Oh, yeah.
Would be a very different scene.
Staring into its eyes.
What can you tell me about the future?
Oh, man.
Pugsley. What a name for a lizard.
She's very attached to this lizard.
Mm.
Ooh, the mom jeans. How about that shot?
Oh, yeah.
Not yet a mom.
No.
It's on her way, though.
Give it some time.
Yeah.
You'll see it happen by the end of the movie. Spoilers. Nothing creepy about this.
You know, this is another one of those movies where there's like a lot of mass shootings. Like that would, I mean, I don't know how else to put it. Like,
wait, where are you going, Tim? Where are you going with this?
I'm just saying, if they made this movie today, I'm not sure they would make some of the same decisions that they make in this film. It's kind of not just the violence. It's sort of the presentation of the violence. It's you know, that wasn't something you thought about so much back then, but
no.
It has a different overall effect today, I think. We'll see. It's been a while since I've watched this.
I was wondering where you were going to go with that, but you landed the plane. Nicely done.
I try. Any landing you can walk away from. Yeah, it's really hard to open a sentence with. There are kind of a lot of mass shootings in this movie and come
hence
down on any place.
Hence my confusion.
Yeah.
Or concern, I guess.
Often not a casual thing to say.
Yeah, I probably won't put that we talked about mass shootings in the write-up for this podcast. I'm just going to say it now.
Yeah. Might not catch the algorithm in the way that you would like.
No. I think that's how I'll end up on a watch list. Mm-hmm. All right. The phone book killer.
Yeah.
They weren't very creative back then, were they?
Well, these detectives have had a long day.
Back in the good old days when you used to be able to smoke indoors.
Oh, yeah, that's another one.
Mm. Either that or his head was smoldering.
I love this exchange between the two of them. He's like, I'm going to go out and make a statement, and he adjusts his tie. How do I look? Like, shit. Okay. Inappropriate workplace banter.
Oh, Paul Bearer, bartender.
Oh, yeah. How about that?
Who knew? Excuse me. At this point, he was Percy Pringle. My apologies.
Oh, certainly. Yeah. So they've now publicized the second Sarah Connor killing of the day.
Mm.
Or is this the third? I think it's the second.
Second, I believe. Starting to become concerned.
Yeah.
Oh, another one of those phone payphone things. Look at that.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if they show this in history class to show what a payphone was.
They really should.
Yeah. I would have paid a lot more attention in school if they did, I'll tell you.
And this payphone, out of order.
Oh. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me payphones used to not work?
Sometimes they wouldn't even accept your money. Your money was no good. Yeah.
Good. How did you do it?
This is, you know, I think part of why I like this movie so much. It's such a blending of genres, too. It's like, we're talking about it here on Piece of the Action. It's a great action movie, but it's action sci-fi, which I love a great action sci-fi vehicle. Your Aliens, your Predator, it's also kind of a horror movie, right? Yep. I mean, the way that the Terminator's, it's sort of a serial killer. I mean, he's not a human serial killer, but his actions are certainly very patterned after a serial killer. It's a slasher in a lot of ways. Sarah, as we've already met, our final girl here. Spoiler.
Yeah, I've always kind of thought of this as like an action horror movie.
Yeah.
You could see it sci-fi. In her face. I mean, sci-fi and...
Sci-fi is kind of the connective tissue there.
Right.
Between the action and the horror.
Mm-hmm. It gets more sci-fi as the movie, as you get more movies, but
yeah, you kind of lose the horror element, right?
Yeah.
Quite quickly, I would say.
Yeah, even by the second one, I think the horror stuff is pretty much gone.
Yeah. You've got kind of moments of body horror in the second one, but it's, I would never call that a horror movie.
Liquid horror?
Yeah. Liquid horror.
Molten metal horror, I guess.
Right. I mean, this, if somebody said, oh, my favorite horror movie is The Terminator, I'd be like, yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so these two have been fucking their brains out.
a tryst, if you will.
Yeah.
Was she wearing the Walkman while fucking?
Well, it looked like she just put it back on.
Ah, I missed that part. I was going to say, that would be a choice.
Yeah. Whatever gets you through it.
Hey, who am I to judge? We don't kink shame here on Piece of the Action.
No. Got the munchies now, though.
That's my promise to the listeners. That stupid iguana.
Iguana's getting in all the food. This can't be sanitary.
Yeah, really.
Jeez.
Oh, dear. This won't end well for our creepy fella.
Nope. Whose name I did not catch, but...
I think it's Matt.
Okay, that sounds right. It's not going to matter here.
No, no, in a few seconds, it... Nice underwear, pal. My goodness.
And I love the trope of her not hearing a single thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just
getting about her business. Milk and whatever that is. Oh, he did.
Yeah.
And she will be in short order.
Ugh. Savage. Savage.
That was quite the shot that sent her across the room there.
My mom had a kitchen table and chairs just like that.
Really?
Behind them, yep. In our little apartment we had when I was growing up.
In the 80s? Was that an 80s thing?
It was early 90s. I think it might have been like a hand-me-down sort of thing.
Mm.
We were rather impoverished at the time.
Oh, an answering machine. I know what an answering machine is.
Okay. Yeah, that's another... God, all this technology is just...
Yeah. In all seriousness, there's something about 80s technology that I've always found fascinating. Speaking as someone who was not around in the 80s.
Yeah.
Like, just the way everything looked.
Well, it's just one of those things where, I mean, how many of these 80s movies, the plots would just be solved immediately if people had cell phones?
Exactly.
I mean... You would bring, and in TV shows back then, you would bring like a lot of drama out of a missed phone call and checking an answering machine and not getting the message in time, or somebody erases your message, and it's just something just doesn't exist anymore. Hasn't existed in a long, long time.
And even something like The Matrix, I mean, that was centered around a payphone. That wouldn't work today. You know?
Yeah, yeah, really. That's what, 99?
Yeah, that was 99. I mean, that wouldn't work today at all.
No. Nope.
This bar is a whole ass mood.
Yeah, what? What is this lantern on the table?
Tech Noir, it was called.
And this sort of chain link fence on the way in. To real, keep out real, the riffraff, yeah.
Real comforting. Makes you feel right at home.
Oh, totally. I love that Arnold the Terminator is dressed like the missing member of the Nasty Boys here.
Well, now we have a mission. We have to come up with a name for him. We have Brian Knobs, we have Jerry Sachs, and we have Arnold, insert bad last name here.
Yeah.
Knobs, Sags. Well, we have time. We have plenty of time.
Workshop that.
We have plenty of time to give Arnold Schwarzenegger a nasty boy name. What the hell are we doing?
That's how these things go. Oh, I love the music in this scene too. It's just one of those, I don't know. Slow-mo, he's closing in on her.
They all look like they're dancing to Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. Oh, that guy with the rat tail. Oh, my Lord.
Yep. 1984.
Oh, yeah. Uh-oh.
It's a tense scene.
Jeez.
Like I said, first mass shooting of a few.
So how was your Friday night? Well, we went to Tech Noir and
got shot up.
Wouldn't believe what happened. This very large man.
Yeah, look at all these people going down.
I love this scene. It just the look with all the lights and everything.
Yeah. It's a gritty scene. It's like not what you think of when you think of James Cameron, you know, like, and this is not a long movie either in terms of its runtime. It's a tight, like, hour 45 thereabouts.
So I feel I need to say again, $6 million was the budget for this movie.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, when you really watch it, it's kind of unbelievable.
It is.
That was the budget for this.
They just accomplished so much with so little.
Yeah.
Not that I'm saying $6 million is anything to sneeze at. I mean, you know, for you and I, it's rather
$6 million right now. Where do I sign?
Yeah. But you think about even blockbusters then. And this was not a blockbuster. It's kind of a B movie that made a shitload of money.
Yep.
As we saw.
So it must have been like word of mouth, I guess.
Like, I think it just really caught on. I think people were just like, oh, it's actually really good. And, yeah.
Because even like, I have the Blu-ray of this, and the Blu-ray has like some of the original trailers they showed for this movie, and they made it seem like it was just kind of like a run-of-the-mill B horror, like slasher action movie. So I'm curious to know like how all of a sudden it made this much money on that budget, you know? Like,
yeah, I want to say I heard a story that Arnold Schwarzenegger was filming Conan the Destroyer, like sort of not at the same time as this, but they sort of overlapped a little bit. So towards the end of his filming on this movie, he went to do that. And he was giving an interview while he was like in makeup or something. There's not a lot going on the set. And he had like a prop from the Terminator with him. Just sort of in his trailer, or you know, and he's making small talk with this interviewer, and they're like, "Oh, what's that? Is that something for this movie?" He goes, "No, that is from some other piece of shit I just finished filming." Like he had no confidence that this was going to be anything.
Jeez, if only he knew.
Yep. I mean, apparently he really wanted the role at the time. Like he sort of charmed James Cameron into being cast. But I don't know. I guess as it went along, he just figured this isn't this isn't going to amount to anything. It's just a job.
It's wild. That's wild to think about.
Mm-hmm. But I could see it. I imagine when you're actually in the process of filming the movie, mm-hmm. you're not seeing the magic that takes place in editing, right?
Right.
You're
right.
just going, exactly. Oh my God, what are we doing?
All right, so we got a car chase going on here.
Mm.
I never know. Did he lose his eyebrows? I never noticed that before.
Oh, I think you're right. I think in that explosion.
The fiery explosion there, huh?
Uh-huh. That's a nice little touch. I'd never noticed that either.
Oh, wow. Huh.
Now we're getting a little info dump here from Kyle Reese.
So I actually found, it says here on from the Terminator Wikipedia, the film premiered on October 26, 1984. On its opening week, The Terminator played at 1,005 theaters and grossed $4 million, making it number one at the box office. So
wow, okay. So it opened strong.
Yeah.
Also, an October movie. You know, you don't think of that as
right.
I mean,
but it gives credence to the fact that, you know, like we've been saying, that this is kind of a horror movie.
It's kind of a horror movie, yeah. Right. Sort of Halloween season.
Yeah. I mean, just this scene alone, they're being chased by this large man in a police car.
Right. Right. This unstoppable killing machine.
Right.
I mean, they really stack the deck against our heroes here. When you think about, again, I understand the rationale in wanting to go with somebody like a Lance Henriksen who's less imposing, but this is better booking at the end of the day, right? You've got these two underdogs essentially against the world. You look at, I mean, shit, the first shot of him that we see where he's naked and just... Mm-hmm. bursting out of his skin is like he already looks incredibly intimidating.
Right. And that's Jingle All the Ways, Lance Henriksen, please.
Oh yes. Thank you. I apologize. I always enjoyed
the man didn't have a starring role with Sinbad for no reason, Tim. Come on.
Right. My mistake. Does this mean that Arnold actually got Lance Henriksen's career?
Mm.
Did they trade places?
Boy, what a different world it would be.
Arnold in Millennium, the 90s. It's dark police drama.
Let's look up Lance Henriksen's filmography, shall we?
Pumpkinhead.
Mm. Sergeant Neff in Omen 2.
Oh my God. All right, I think this is the second time Sarah Connor has bit Kyle Reese.
Mm-hmm.
She actually drew blood on this occasion. He just got through mansplaining to her, if you will, that the 600 series had rubber skin, very easy to spot. But this is the 800 series, Matt, which has bad breath, hair, sweats. It sweats everything.
Mm.
Very realistic.
Thank you for thank you for Tim explaining that.
Anytime.
Oh, those eyes. My goodness.
Yeah, well. It used to have eyebrows, but it doesn't anymore.
He's not used to all the light going in there.
Presumably it grows back. I mean...
Does the T-800 have that capability?
I think the skin actually is, you know...
It molts.
Relatively organic, yes. That's the idea, I guess.
I see. I want my Terminator to molt. Put that in the new model.
I don't think we've spent enough time with a 800 series Terminator in any of these films with skin long enough to see how it functions in the long run.
Right. Need to know the patterns of the Terminator series here.
Certainly.
So do they ever mention how old Reese is here?
I don't think they do.
Because I know she's supposed to be 19.
She's 19, and you know, you figure he's older than her, but he looks like he's 30, but he's probably like a hard 24, you know? I mean, I have no idea who the actor
is.
Yeah. I don't know how old Michael Biehn is at this point, but he's probably playing a very hard 20-something.
Lovely conversation in this car here.
Yeah.
Trying to explain to her everything that's going on, and she looks very confused, rightfully so.
It is time travel, so here again.
That's the exact face I have whenever somebody brings up time travel.
That face you make when you watch something involving time travel.
So we flashed forward to 2245, and what? Like, I like sci-fi, but Christ almighty.
Yeah.
That's not how cars work.
We're going to just hotwire this car. Without having to do much of anything. Well, didn't they end... we were just talking about Salvation, Terminator Salvation. They show like the Arnold Terminator at the end or something, and they all kind of look like that, right?
Yeah, that's kind of the storyline they do. I don't know if that's in Salvation, but I know for the more recent ones, like that's how they were able to get Schwarzenegger back in it, was that all the T-800s look like this, so
looks like, and he was some guy actually that they were based on or something, right. So that's kind of a retcon, right? Just in the sense that if they all look like that, then Kyle Reese should know exactly what to look for,
right?
Especially
considering that's a prequel, right? Isn't that's a prequel, I think.
Right, it takes place in the future, but technically it's a prequel in terms of the characters' histories.
Right.
Time travel, again.
God, my brain can't handle it. It's a prequel, but it's still in the future.
Yeah.
So if it's a prequel, but it's still in the future, does that mean it's like 2 years from now? Terminator Salvation?
It's both a prequel... and a sequel to Terminator 2, or 3, right?
Getting a popsicle headache.
Well, that was sort of the ballsy thing about Terminator 3. They actually did Judgment Day, right? At the end, they blew everything up. Yep. So, I mean, I'd say that was rather unexpected for that film.
Yeah, a little bit.
Another car chase here.
And we're on again. I gotta say, that no eyebrow look really does make him more menacing.
God. Yeah, and it's gonna get worse.
Oh, yeah.
This movie does not have a lot of chill. Not much downtime. Once things get off and running.
That scene we just saw might be the most downtime in the entire movie. Kind of it. And, well, the scene where they fuck, but...
Right.
Spoilers.
Action of a different variety, but...
Exactly.
You know. It's funny. It's like, you look at this, and you look at Terminator 2, and... Mm-hmm. For all the shit we've talked about time travel... time travel as a plot device sort of makes it possible to just remake this movie as Terminator 2.
Right.
When you think about it, because it's, mm-hmm. I mean, it's the same plot, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only difference is John Connor actually, you know, exists in that movie. But, I mean, they're trying to accomplish the same goal.
Right.
And it's sort of like, I don't know, it's funny. I always think of T2 as what this movie would have been if James Cameron was already James Cameron and had the budget that you would associate with an Arnold Schwarzenegger or James Cameron movie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And this is just sort of a leaner, much leaner version of that.
Oh, yeah, totally. So Arnold has crashed into the wall. Presumably dead. Presumably in quotation marks. But
yeah. That ain't gonna do it.
Police arresting Reese and Sarah. Oh, but he's not there.
One of those cops, presumably Louis C.K. I don't know. There are people who tell you they like Terminator, original Terminator, better than Terminator 2.
Those people are wrong.
I was gonna say I'm not sure I would consider myself one of those people, but
I mean, this is a fantastic movie, of course. But
yeah, I mean,
Terminator 2.
I don't think it's totally out of line because, like I said, they're kind of, in a lot of ways, the same movie, but tonally, they're pretty different.
I forgot he was in the first one. He's in the second one, too. He's the doctor in the second one.
Yes.
That's right. The psychologist.
I forgot he was in this one, too.
Wow. I'm not going to lie. This is going to make me want to watch Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Like, right after this.
Oh, man. I do love that movie.
And then probably 3 because I hate myself.
I want to watch 3 just because I haven't seen it in so long.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've seen it, too. Oh, dear.
Wow. Ugh. Oh, this is a gross scene.
Sure is. Now, I seem to remember it not holding up to modern standards of special effects, but we'll see.
That may be a good thing, honestly.
Yeah, yeah, really. Oh, my oozing wound. Oh, that's an X-Acto knife. All right.
Oh, God. Ugh.
Looks like the growth Jillian Hall had on her face before the boogeyman ripped it off.
What a reference. No, he just opened that right up.
Yep,
huh?
That's my arm. That's my joints in there. Yep. My pulleys and levers. Gotta fix them.
If only it were so easy.
Ah, 2027.
I guess if we could get a birth date for Kyle Reese, we might know, figure out how old he is. That would require math, which...
I was told there would be no math.
Yeah, I'm not inclined to do at this hour, but it is one way.
Let's see if Wikipedia says how old he is.
Mm.
That would make life much easier. All right. According to Terminator Genesis, Kyle Reese, time travel warning. Kyle Reese was born in 2004.
Okay. And what did we say? It was 2029. So, yeah, he's like 25.
25-ish. Yeah. Look at that. We did basic.
We
math.
Did it.
We figured, did it.
And we were right. He's
my goodness.
I mean, he could be 24 going on 25, right? Depending on.
He looks more like 24 going on 38 in real life.
Sure.
But...
sure. All right.
All right. And we're back to the T-800 torturing himself. Yeah, this is the scene I was this talking the, about.
Because there's like some puppet work, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's his eyeball.
That's got to come out of there.
Yeah.
What was I saying about body horror being in the second one?
Turns out it's in the first one, too.
Yeah.
Oh, there's my eye. Oh, that pesky eyeball. Throw it in the sink.
Get that right out of there.
Yeah.
That makes things much better.
Mm. Air it out. Air out the eye hole.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Yep, that doesn't look
okay.
Good.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. I mean, that's obviously a rubber face, but in some ways, I think the inhumanity of it kind of works.
Mm. Yeah.
It's not a good effect, I'll grant you. But
no, but when you think of the time, and I mean, we're watching it years later, I mean. All right, that's a better jacket. Thank you.
All right.
Now we're talking.
Man, you just you throw some shades on, and it's like no one ever knows.
Hmm. Leave my eyeball in the sink, let it rinse off. How about Arnold Grimes as his nasty boy name?
Arnold Grimes. I like it. I think that works. Yeah, bring him in as an alternate.
Mm.
Sags refused to do the job or something.
Hopefully there's no awkward Grimes hole photo.
God. It's the eyeball, but it's like stretched open really.
Just really a yeah, right. It's just an extreme close up of the eye hole.
That is so gross.
Interrogating our friend Reese here.
Doesn't the what's his name, Silverman, the psychiatrist, he cameos in number three, doesn't he? Just briefly, I think.
I'd have to watch three again. It's been so long since I've seen it. I can't remember. The only thing I really remember about three is, one, there was a female Terminator, and two, the scene in the graveyard. That's about it.
That's where I think he actually cameoed, was...
Oh, okay.
I don't know why he was in the graveyard, but it was something like he was just in the movie long enough to see Arnold again, right, and shit his pants, basically.
Long enough for the audience to say, hey, that guy!
Mm-hmm. So they're telling her Reese is crazy.
He was probably on PCP.
And Arnold Grimes was on PCP. Seems on brand.
You know, there could be a problem with Arnold Grimes because isn't Grimes married to Elon Musk?
Oh, yeah. Well, nobody likes her since then, so.
Yeah, it's true. You just don't want to confuse the two, is my...
True.
Wouldn't want to
I mean,
settle Arnold.
Talk about confusion. There's Vic Grimes, which...
Mmm. Oh, God.
Who sort of seems like a nasty boy in a lot of ways.
I'll see if I can come up with another one.
Mm.
I'm a friend of Sarah Connor.
Iconic line coming up. Sizing up the place. There it is.
There we go. Was that security guard Chris Parnell? With a mustache.
We got Louis C.K. and Chris Parnell in this movie.
Oof, what a movie. Who knew? Kind of looks like Elliot Gould a little bit, too.
Yeah.
And now he's dead.
Yep. And I think we're about to have our second mass shooting. Yeah, here we go.
Yeah, yep. Should we keep a count of how many mass shootings?
I kind of informally am, yes.
Well, thank goodness. The people will want to know. I'll add it to the records.
Yeah. God, why is Arnold so good in this?
And he's said maybe 10 words?
Right. He just doesn't need to speak. Just
right.
Dress him in head to toe in leathers and have him shoot people. I mean.
Yep. All right. Meanwhile, our hero.
I know. And handcuffs.
Well, not for long. Good Lord. I know he's a bad guy, but he looks like such a badass.
I know. And this is the part of the movie I just find myself getting sucked in.
Yep. At least in two, you get to root for them.
Yeah, yeah. There was the idea, I think, floated originally to have him play the hero in this once they decided, you know, we're on board with this jacked up Austrian bodybuilder in our movie, but he's just too good as the Terminator.
Right. Would he be chasing Lance Hendrickson?
Yeah. Too good being bad, chasing down Lance Henderson.
Oh, that ain't gonna end well.
This really has been a bastard of a day.
I'm sorry, this is very serious. I do apologize. Look, she's cowering in fear, and I'm making jokes.
You made Lance Henderson sound like Lemmy. The bastard of the day.
All right, random fires, very good. God, look at that man and tell me he's not a badass. I'm sorry. I always did root for the heels.
But... you know, I guess this is why we have a gun culture in this country, but what do you want, man? Like, it's 1984, like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It's people like us that are ruining it.
I know.
The leather jacket, the sunglasses, my God. The boots, it's a whole ass moot.
Jesus.
Oof, what a scene.
I might suggest that look is cooler than, I don't know, I'm thinking about T2 again now.
It is. See, I think T2 was an evolution of that look.
Evolution of that look.
Oh, there's your Lemmy again. But, you can't beat the original, I think. It's real close. All right, there's the car. Now how are we going to get home?
Ditch the car, yeah.
Oh, this lovely underpass. So, this is where I live. What do you think? Can I get you anything?
I cleaned for you.
Are you cold? I don't know. She's kind of shivering there. Read the room. Is that a room? I don't even know.
It's like, I can't tell. You're shivering, but I can't tell if it's because you're cold or you're in traumatic shock.
Is this helping? Oh, first time we hear his first name.
Mm. What's it like to go through time? Wow. Very confusing.
What's it like having a name like Kyle? Oh, he's bleeding. Well. You mean you got shot? Oh, well.
Oh, honey.
Where's this blood coming from?
I mean, perhaps not noticed the multiple scars dotting his body.
Perhaps the gaping wound in my chest. Have you thought that?
It's probably not his first time.
Oh, passed right through the meat.
Mm.
This man speaks in scientific terms.
Yeah. He's like, luckily I'm a protagonist in a hard R action movie and it's not the climax yet, so it's just a flesh wound.
Just give me some Jack Daniels and a piece of leather to bite on, I'll be fine.
The only thing that could have made it better if I was shot in the shoulder.
It's too bad I'm wearing a shirt that doesn't show off my guns.
Yes.
Oh, I think we're going to find out who the father is.
Oh, yes.
In short order. Give it some time, you'll know too.
Irony can be so ironic.
Mm. You'll be very interested to find out who the father is.
All right, so he volunteered to come back, and I mean, you've got your choice of soldiers that you're going to send back in time to protect your mother.
Mm-hmm.
You want to pick the best, probably, not just due to the importance of the mission, given the whole, I don't know, end of all existence if it fails, but also the fact that it's your mother, right?
Right.
And we have to assume that Kyle Reese was the best that... That was available.
He was the only one who volunteered.
It really goes to show the sort of I don't know, ragtag nature of this resistance movement.
You there, lanky McScrawny pants? Would you like? Would you like to go to the future past?
The cast of 205 Live exclusively is who we've got shoring up our defenses.
I don't know. He's more like 155 Live here.
Yeah.
205 Live seems 205 like
205 soaking wet Live.
Yeah.
It's a good field dressing, though.
Mm. If I had a nickel for every time I heard that.
Oh, man. This is pillow talk for them.
Yeah, it's a very hot scene. Under an overpass, talking about field dressing. I don't know about you, Tim, but I'm getting all hot and bothered.
Gunshot wounds. And about your adult son who sent me back in time.
Talk to me some more. Would you like to hear about another Band-Aid? There was this one time.
Well, know how I got this scar.
There was this one time I broke my ribs. They had to tape up my entire body. I love that we're acting like Sarah Connor is turned on by Band-Aids and
oh, yeah.
Injury wraps.
She's into it now. Hey, it's like you said, don't yuck another's yum.
That's right. Who am I to judge?
Paraphrasing.
Some people may get turned on by the scent of Bengay. Who am I to say?
Right.
Icy hot.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Makes me hot, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
Mm.
So it's, I think it's in kind of these future sequences where, who was it? Harlan Ellison got the bug in his craw saying that, James Cameron ripped him off his short story that was adapted for The Outer Limits, I think it was, which I have seen that episode. I'm trying to remember what it's called. And I'm sorry, but Harlan Ellison is full of shit.
Yeah.
I mean, not that, you know, I'm like, I think that James Cameron is some kind of paragon of originality or whatever, but I don't see it.
I'm going to say
he
for
gets
the
some money out of it, though. He does get some money out of out of his claim.
I'm going to say it again for the third time. $6 million.
Yeah.
With these sets and these effects.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they must have hit the budget when they filmed that Arnold scene in the bathroom. The budget must have been $6.4 million on the nose, and they filmed that scene once they hit it, so they had to skimp on the,
right.
on the effects.
Right, I mean, it does not otherwise look like a cheap movie.
No, not at all.
Oh, it's like the hollowed out television with the, the fire in it.
Mm. Seems like a fun life, huh?
Yeah, again, this is what we have to look forward to in just a few short years.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, it doesn't seem that far-fetched, really.
I was going to say, go on.
Ah, the picture. The picture.
Christ, now I'm even more confused. Oh, Terminator. They said it. They said the name of the movie
They said the name of the movie in the...
They did the thing. Even these effects look really good.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. Big time shootout going on here in this underground, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Bunker, I guess.
Yeah, I love the purple laser cannon guns. Those are just super cool.
Mm. Even the touch with the Terminator having the red eyes.
Mm.
Oh, the picture.
And there goes the Polaroid.
Ugh. Yeah, put that dressing near my face. What?
Oh, boy.
Look, we don't know. I mean, a future movie, they could explore that. We don't know.
Oh, we're such idiots. I love it.
could make another prequel and really explore the field dressing affection.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It started
James
real
Cameron's
movement.
Working on it right now.
Oh, God.
Oh, this guy. Good God. Buddy. I'd say put on a sweater, but apparently you're already wearing one.
Possible responses. Fuck you,
fuck
asshole.
You asshole. Jesus Christ.
I kind of like the, again, it's not a great effect, but just the overall look, it's like his skin is now just rotting. He just looks like a zombie.
Oh, the Tiki Motel.
The Tiki Motel.
Fancy.
Hey, it's the dog from the photo.
A room with a kitchen. Wow.
Which presumably she steals. I mean, doesn't this dog belong to someone? Like, why? Why does she have that dog at the end of the movie?
Great question.
I mean, it may not be that dog, but it's sort of weird that we see the dog there, and then she has a random German Shepherd at the at the end. Spoilers.
Uh-oh.
Tiki Motel has a kitchen. Man, fully equipped here.
Whew.
Kitchenette, excuse me.
Yeah. That's almost a kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that's almost a bathroom.
Yeah.
Oh, nice that he had a shower in between.
Yeah, one would hope. Okay, she got a shower.
Her mother's worried sick about what's going on.
Oh, yeah. The voice imitation gimmick, right?
Those T-800s. Very advanced.
All right, so do we take that to mean he killed her mother?
That is a good question that I've never thought of before.
Give me your address, dear.
I guess she's probably dead.
Yeah.
Because how else would he know what her mother sounds like? That would be my guess.
Right. Well, and we see the T-1000 pull that gimmick in the sequel, and leading to your foster parents are dead. Mothballs, notoriously useful for warding off Terminators.
Absolutely. Ammonia, too. That's what it says in all the field guides. What the hell are they making? A pipe bomb? Be careful, you're gonna blow up the kitchenette.
Wouldn't that be something? They blew themselves up in the kitchen.
For God's sake.
So, I don't know. I think maybe they could swap jobs. It seems like he ought to be handling the explosives.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point.
While she does whatever the hell he's doing behind her.
You know, I mean, he does have a bad arm, as we found out.
True, true.
But for God's sake, out of the two of them, I mean, who has the better chance of not blowing themselves up?
Not blowing themselves up.
Let's play the odds here. Existential crisis going on.
Yeah.
Are you cold again? Oh, no, you're panicking. I got it.
Does that turn you on an existential crisis?
Absolutely.
Really gets... Really gets his hormones flowing.
They're going to explore that in a sequel, too, along with the field dressing. Ooh, she called him by his first name.
Kyle, paint me like you do your French girl. I don't have any French girls, Sarah.
Boy, more exciting pillow talk. What were women like where you are?
Well, they smelled a lot worse.
Yeah. Here, while you're fucking me, think of your future.
Call me her name, Kyle. It's like I'm telling you, there wasn't anybody.
Did they have field dressing in the future?
So now she feels sorry for him because he's never done it. This scene is like an incel's dream, I've got to imagine. This must be like one of those, like on those incel message boards, this must be one of those. Somehow they talk about and reference it and use that weird, gross coded language that they have for everything. I'm sorry, I probably ruined that for a lot of people, but incels have ruined a lot of things for a lot of people, so what do you want?
What's one more thing, goddammit? Well, I don't know about you, Tim, but I'm turned on right now. My God. Man. What are we doing? Jesus.
Get to it.
Just leave me to my pipe bombs. Try not to blow up the fucking Tiki Motel.
Yeah, he's aggressively stuff
Jesus,
his bag full.
What are you doing? Hey, those are explosives. Don't you know there's going to be big money in this fucking... Don't you know there's going to be big money in this franchise? What's the matter with you?
The sexual tension is going to kill us all if we don't release it.
Good God. He's going to explode like those fucking pipe bombs.
Here it is.
Take my breath away. Oh, wrong movie, sorry. Good Lord.
Yeah. So, Matt, would you fuck a man on the first date if he came to you from the future and tried to save your life?
Boy, that's a question. if he saved my life, he's from the future. Mm-hmm. Now, is he from the future past or the actual future?
Let's say our dystopian future that we're looking forward to.
That we're looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Well, I guess it would depend on the situation. First date, maybe not.
Oh man.
But I think it would depend.
Like, you're a tough sell.
How did he save my life?
I would feel obligated to. You know, I don't know how long this guy's going to live. I've seen this.
Well,
movie.
I mean, if it was natural, I wouldn't say no. But
yeah,
I wouldn't be the one forcing the issue. I'll say that.
Okay. Would you fuck 1984 Michael Biehn on the first date?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm just like Sarah Connor, big fan of field dressing.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so
intrigued. Got him to spare, yeah.
Yeah. That's not a bathroom, that's a closet. Good Lord.
I always feel a little bit bad about the random bystanders in these 80s action movies who are constantly getting pulled out of their vehicles and off the side.
Constantly having to duck and dive from car chases on the highway.
Yeah.
It's very dangerous out there.
And that's just your treatment at the hands of the hero. I mean, to say nothing of an 80s action movie villain.
Right. And I mean, they never follow the rules of the road either. I mean,
no. Absolutely not.
Very dangerous. Always keep your hands on 10 and 2 when being shot at. For God's sake.
Look, you got to multitask in a car chase.
Yeah. Thank goodness there's two of them. They wouldn't be able to throw those pipe bombs. Oh, God. And hold on, Sarah. We're going to blow up.
They made how many? Six? Eight of these things?
I think it was six.
We'll keep count. How about that?
All right, there's one.
Mm-hmm.
Now think of that. What that would have done to the Tiki Motel.
Yeah, there's two.
With all their tomfoolery going on.
Definitely would have taken them out.
Oh, yeah.
Three. Not a single one is connected yet.
Nope. Oh. He's a bad aim.
Yeah. Four, I guess.
That one didn't even come close.
Five.
Oh, no.
Blew himself up.
Yeah. It's bound to happen.
So they should have one left.
Kyle bleeding out in the passenger seat.
I love how much heavy artillery he has to take out this one woman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as we see, he's needed every bit of it thus far. But
we have problems now.
Oh man.
Oh dear.
That was a great flip, though.
Yeah. Nary a scratch on her, thank God. Kyle, however.
Ah, yeah.
Oh God.
Tremendous.
Son of a bitch.
That's a great scene.
Oh, this will end well for this guy. The hell did I hit?
I mean, yeah, he's got to be thinking the size of this rig, whatever I hit, to still be feeling it. Mm-hmm. It must be pretty impressive.
Oh, it was a body. Well. Uh-oh.
Yeah, he seems to have... Ugh.
All right, time to leave.
Yeah.
Spooky guy tells me to get out. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, so we'll see a callback to that in T2, right? Mm-hmm. With they up the ante. It's a helicopter. They pull that move in. Again, it's the same movie.
Oh, leave him.
Too suspenseful.
For
can't
God's
take...
sake.
God.
He'll be fine. There's another callback from Terminator 2, or you'll see it in Terminator 2.
Uh-huh.
A big rig.
Uh-huh.
Finally, don't stop. The smartest thing he said all movie. All right, he's lighting up another pipe bomb here.
There we go.
Oh, he threw. Uh oh. And then he jumps.
Dives
in.
Into the sort of like Indy in the refrigerator, right?
Mm, absolutely.
A few years early.
Oh, God.
Shit's taking a sweet time to blow up. There it is.
There it goes. Oh,
good Lord, that explosion.
Jesus. Holy shit.
Oh
my god. That is a comically large amount of fire.
On the scale of 80s action movie explosions, is that the gold standard?
Holy shit.
Die Hard's got the great one. Wow. But, my word.
There's your $6 million right there.
Yeah.
To blow up that fucking tanker truck. Christ.
I mean, they probably shattered all the windows of the surrounding buildings.
Mm.
I can't imagine they did that on like a closed set.
No, they probably couldn't.
Oh.
Well, it
probably didn't have a filming permit.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I want to say it's this image here coming up is what inspired Cameron to make the movie. He fresh off of Piranha 2 this morning and was very ill, perhaps because he made Piranha 2 this morning. I'm not sure. Has a fever dream, and in his nightmares is haunted by an image of a metal skeleton rising out of flames.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do with that imagery? Well, turn it into a story, right?
Yep.
Build a story around it. Or rip off Harlan Ellison, as Harlan Ellison will be the first to tell you. Because he's a prick.
Look at that.
Oh, my God.
Oh. Quick, back in the dumpster.
Mm.
Oh, God, that still looks great.
Yeah.
Jesus. Iconic.
Yep. Think its endoskeletal hip is displaced. It's having a hard time walking.
Yeah. Go see a metal chiropractor. Pop him back into place.
God, that is so cool, though.
Excuse me. Weld him back into place.
Mm-hmm.
This really is a horror movie. I'm sorry. It really
it's like
really
you kill the bad guy, he comes back to life.
Yep.
This has been a great installment of the Freak Out Drive-In, huh?
Yeah. Very happy Jenny allowed me to take it over. All right, we're in this factory here.
So, what did he say? What was the rationale here? If he turned on all the equipment, it would screw with the T-800 sensors or something like that?
I believe that's the case.
I think there's a throwaway line to that effect.
Yeah.
Tries to explain why.
Right.
Why we're turning on all the gears and shit in this place.
It makes him feel more at home, I guess. Oh, just leave him. The deed's already been done. John Connor's already there. I mean, my
yeah, really. He's accomplished his mission when you talk about. The eyes, man, are just
yep. So good.
Is this the actual factory that will become what's it called, Cyberdyne or whatever?
Mm.
Where they create Skynet?
Skynet.
Is that the idea?
Mm.
Because I mean, all the parts are going to be left behind.
Right.
So.
Hmm. Look at that. We learn things here.
Yeah. I want to say that's an actual deleted scene that I didn't make that up. Yeah, there's a few deleted scenes on the DVD of this, which I've got somewhere, and I know I've watched them, and none of them are that notable except for that one. They reveal like the name of this factory and show like some of the parts being salvaged. I want to say
it's interesting. Yeah, I mean, it would make sense that.
Yeah.
Given everything,
they
that
just you know reverse engineer it to.
Right.
Again, the time travel being this is the closed loop theory of time travel in these movies. Mm. Come on, motherfucker!
Hiya.
I love the head going sideways.
Yep. I know why you cry. Oh, wrong one. Sorry.
I still got a pipe bomb.
Uh-oh. Oh, thank goodness he fell down the stairs.
Yes.
That'll do it.
Yeah, and that'll do it for Kyle Reese, I think.
Mm.
Oh, she got some shrapnel.
Yeah, a little bit. Oh, good, I get to use field dressing.
Any excuse. Ah, that looks like it's in a painful spot, too.
Youch. Oh, no, don't do that. Leave it in. Should I take it out? Should I leave it? Leave it in. Leave it in. It's part of you now.
It's part of you now. It's fused to your body.
I'm sure that felt great.
Now you are a Terminator.
That's how that works.
Wait, didn't they do that in one of the newer ones? They made John Connor a Terminator. Or a cyborg or something.
Mm. Did they?
And it's as dumb as it sounds, yeah.
I don't remember the most recent ones for good reason.
Again, I don't even know if it was it was either, I mean, it had to have either been Genesis or
whatever the fuck.
Whatever we said or now.
Dark Phoenix. What? No, that's X-Men. Dark Fate.
Terminator doo-doo shit. Yeah.
Terminator, who the fuck cares?
Dark Passenger.
Excuse me, Terminator colon, who the fuck cares?
Terminator it.
Still alive.
It's just a torso, but it's...
Oh, goodness.
Quite deadly.
I have to say, he's very diligent in his mission.
Oh, yeah.
It was T-800s, I mean.
Much better than the 600 series.
Yeah, I've heard. Haven't I been through enough?
Oh, God. She's going to... She's going to... Not careful. She's going to... She is going to
turn into one of them.
Yeah. The last place I want to be crawling around.
Yeah. Maybe rethink this strategy.
And I mean, shouldn't she have one good leg? I think I would try to get up. I mean, is her back broken? What are we?
Or at least use the good leg to push yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You still have three good limbs. It was my dominant leg. I don't know how to use the other one.
At least we get to show off the Terminator model. It looks real cool.
Mm-hmm.
Animatronics, if you will.
Mm. Oh, the start button. Thank goodness. Ah, yes. Action movie quote, you're terminated, fucker.
Terminated, fucker. So what if she got electrocuted as
I was just going to say, it's a good thing, apparently, that the T-800 electrocution doesn't affect humans, apparently. Because that's awfully close, and she's surrounded by a lot of metal. And I don't know if she's wearing any rubber.
Or what if it it was like a predator situation where it had a self-destruct.
Right.
As it's dying, it just activates that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? That might be a rubber hose next to her. She probably grabbed onto that. It's fine. It's fine. She's fine. She grounded herself.
Very good.
Did she always have the bloody lip? Or did she get that after the fact? she ran into a pole.
Yeah,
on the way out.
Continuity isn't.
She ran into a perfect. Pole on her way out. Gave
she walked into a pole.
Finally conquer this fucker, and then I gotta spend the night in the hospital anyway.
Might be concussed.
Oh, she's changed now.
Yes.
She's now a broken woman.
And she's a dog thief.
And she's vaping? Oh no, that's a microphone.
She's vaping. 1984 vape.
Oh, this movie really did tell the future.
Mm-hmm. See, look, she stole the dog, I'm telling you.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
This is where she establishes her allies in that one sort of weird middle stretch of Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Looking very pregnant now.
Mm. The caption orders gas in Spanish.
So she's speaking into a vape pen using a cassette tape recorder to record her message here. Her words, you know, much like we're doing on this podcast.
I'm sorry, cassette tape?
Yeah.
Mm. I think I've heard about those. Well, she's got a nasty scar from running into like that pole.
That's her one lasting injury.
Well, the emotional scars are probably still there, but... Hey, don't take my photo.
Here we get the Polaroid.
Oh, that's very nice. Oh, that's less nice. Jesus.
If you don't pay me for this picture, I just took it to my father.
Well, I guess I'll give him the money. I bet I know what happens to that picture.
Mm. Mm. We don't know what happens to the dog, though.
No. Is the dog a Terminator?
Mm.
Oh God! I hope the Terminator people don't listen to this. I might have just given him an idea.
Oh shit! That's the next sequel. It's a Terminator detecting dog. I bet you.
Mm. It's like a drug sniffing dog.
As our heroine drives off into a matte painting.
A Bob Ross original. Speaking into a vape pen while pregnant. In Mexico. In quotes, Mexico.
With a little roll of paint on our knife. We'll just...
Oh, there it is. Acknowledgement to the works of Harlan Ellison. There
Look at
is.
That fuck face. Yeah. I think they paid him like $60,000 or something. It was kind of go away money.
Not bad just to get your name mentioned in credits for a movie that they thought wasn't going to be huge.
You know, really, yeah.
I bet had he known that the movie was going to be what it was, he certainly would have asked for a lot more.
Exactly.
That's a guarantee.
Infamously litigious.
Yeah. Well, as we roll credits on this movie, we roll credits on this here podcast.
Before a treat, man.
I know. Great so film. Good. So, God, I love that movie. Before we wrap things up, Tim, anything you wish to plug, sir?
Well, you ran down the shows that I regularly appear on across our quad of pods, if you will. You know, for more great pop culture content from me, where I continually am vexed by more time travel, you can also hear me. I'm part of the panel on Pop Goes to the Couch, the returning Pop Goes to the Couch, where we are trying to make sense of all the time travel shenanigans in Loki on Disney Plus week after week. It's myself, Andy Atherton, Sean Kidd, and Scott Shiflett, most of the time at least. So do check that out if you're a Marvel fan, if you're a Loki fan, if you like time travel. I have a real love-hate relationship there. You can also follow me on social media. I am at Psych68 on Twitter. New podcast that I can't even really claim as my podcast. It's a podcast started by our friend JT Rosero. It is on the North-South Connection podcast network, and that show is called 9021 No-So. And it is a retrospective chronological review going episode by episode through Beverly Hills 90210. Yes, the original. So I joined JT for the pilot, figured I would just be on for that one. He would have a new guest each episode, but he brought me back for the second one where we did have a very special guest. And you can look for that episode very soon on North South Connection podcast if it is not available to you already. So we'll see how we do there. I don't know if I'll be on every installment of that show, but I'd certainly be willing, as much as I love that that program from my youth. So for those 90210 heads out there, check it out. We have a lot of fun doing that show. And that should be it for me.
I absolutely love the name of that podcast.
It's
fantastic. It's so great.
And it was so long. JT had been talking about wanting to do something with 90210. I mean, for years, like, want to do a dedicated podcast, but I don't know what that's going to look like. Maybe it just took starting the North South Connection podcast network in order to come up with the most fitting name possible. Mm.
It's all about the name. It really is.
All
I agree.
The name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, as for me, you can find me, as always, on the wrestling feed on Highway to the Impact Zone. I am on usually every other episode of that. We are on the road to Against All Odds 2005. As of this recording, the new episode just dropped, where we cover the last two episodes of Impact prior to Against All Odds 2005. And those episodes are absolutely terrible, so please listen to that. If you spoilers,
the podcast episodes are not terrible.
Yes, the
episodes of yes. Your source material are
yes, the bad. Impact episodes. I should specify. Thank you, Tim. That's why you're here. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Your podcast is rather
the podcast is fantastic, but the actual impacts we watched on that show are just the worst. As for that, you can also find me doing guest spots on Croc and Roll. I've been on two of those, I believe, since the last time there was an episode of Piece of the Action. Let's see. All kinds of stuff. Go on my Twitter, at MSouza1991. I usually retweet every podcast that I am on if you are interested in hearing more of this voice. So, thus concludes another episode of Piece of the Action. My thanks to Tim. Tim, I do appreciate you being on for your very first foray into Piece of the Action. Much appreciated, sir.
Oh, yeah. Great. Kind of long time first time. I had so much fun joining you here. And I guess what else is there to say but you'll dominate it, fucker.
Well, can't top that. Good night, folks. Strong Island, where I got a wildin'. That's the reason they're claiming that I'm violent. Never silent. No, don't get dumb. Nope. Claiming where we get our rhythm from. Number one, we hit you and we give you some. No gun. It's still never on the run. You want to be an S1. Griff, I'll tell you when.
You know what time it is. MP's the president. Pulling out my ray gun. Zap the next one. I could be a shogun.
Suckers.
Don't last a minute. Soft and smooth. I ain't with it.
Hardcore.
Raw bone like a razor. I'm like a laser. I just won't phase ya. Old enough to raise ya. So this will phase ya. Get it right, boy. Maybe I will praise ya. Playing a role I got sold to. Voice my opinion with volume.
Smooth.
Not what I am.
Rock.
Cause I'm a man. No matter what the name, we're all the same. Pieces in one big chess game.
Yeah.
The voice of power is in a house. Go take a shower, boy. P.E. Our crew, not singular. We wear black Wranglers. We're rap stranglers. You can't angle us. I know you're listening. I caught you pissing your pants. You're scared of pissing us. The crowd is missing us. We're on a mission, y'all.
Yo, Chuck. Yo. Yeah, man. Yo, you got them running scared.
Terminator X. Terminator X. Terminator X. Kill the Terminator. Come on. Come on.
Yo, yo, yo.